Amen. I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles this morning again to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 29. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. We're taking our motto text for the incoming year. If you've got the little card, if you pick one up there, you'll already know what it is. But we'll read down through the portion of Scripture. And beginning at verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 29. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, to the priests and to the prophets, to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gamariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and begat sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. Seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause in you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to all of our hearts. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. And our God, we think of the children of Israel here in a time of discouragement. And yet, Lord, we thank thee that in the midst of the discouragement, there was the words of encouragement. And our God, we pray that in the midst of all that we face in this day and generation, that the word of encouragement and blessing might be our portion today. And O God, that we might in this incoming year walk in the light of the encouragement that God's thoughts are towards us, that God's plans are being worked out in all that we see taking place around us. Bless thy word to our hearts today, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text is verse 11. This is our motto text for the incoming year. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 is one of those encouraging verses in the Bible that is often quoted in greetings cards or maybe letters of encouragement that people send to one another. Maybe there are those that are going through a hard time or difficulty or illness. And also, sometimes the word is given to those that are maybe seeking for the surname of the Lord Dweller, a vocation of some kind, and this is a verse that is often given to them. But really, this is not a verse that is for individuals at all. It really is a verse that is spoken to the people of God collectively, and that's what you'll find here in this portion of Scripture. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, the you there is not singular, but it is plural. So it is a promise to the church of God as a whole. And I want you to see that it is a tremendous promise here that is given in the context of tremendous difficulty. You have to, if you want to understand the promise that has been given here, you need to understand what it meant to the people of God to whom it was given. And if you look at the context here, you will see that it was given at a time when the people of God had been brought into captivity. This is the year 597 BC, and God is judging the nation of Judah, and 3,000 prisoners had been brought to Babylon, and the Jews really here had been saying that this wasn't supposed to happen. We are God's people. We are the apple of God's eye. We are those that God loves, and God, we are God's chosen people. And how can this happen to us? How can these things take place? How can this take place? And here is Jeremiah, and he comes to them, and his message is, well, God has a plan and purpose in it. And they were saying, well, this can't happen. God will come and deliver us. But Jeremiah said to them, no, you're not going home for a while. God has brought you into 70 years of captivity. And what the will of the Lord is for you is to build houses where you are and plant gardens where you are and pray for the peace of the place where you are, for you're not going to go home for a while. And God has brought you here, and he speaks here about the expected end. And while God had brought them into this time of difficulty, and while they were in this captivity, what Jeremiah is saying to them, you're not going home for a while, but God has an expected end. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God is working out all that is happening around you for an expected end. And here they were, and they were in the midst of this, and what a comfort it was to realize that God had a plan. But what were they going to do in the meantime? Here they were in this land of captivity, and all was discouraging, and all was difficult, and they were in a day where they were separated from the temple of God, where the center of their worship was, and things were difficult and hard, and what were they going to do in the meantime? Well, this is where the text comes in, because here is a word of encouragement in a day of difficulty. God says to them, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There was an end in view that God had for them. You know, as we face the incoming year, and we live in a time when it is difficult and hard for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a day when the tide of blessing has gone out in many ways. We live in a day when many are discouraged, well, maybe even are like the children of Israel here, the children of Judah. You're saying to yourself, what is God doing? Well, what is the purpose and all? Why is it so hard and so difficult in our day and generation? Why are the people so set against the things of God? And maybe you've got discouraged and down. Well, I'm glad that we have a word of encouragement today. And I want to take this encouragement for a model text for the incoming year, because we need to be encouraged. We can be weary in well-doing. We can be discouraged in the midst of the battle. But I want you to remember that God has a plan to bless. And God has an expected end at the end. God is still the victor. We are on the victory side. Satan to Jesus must bow at the end of the day. And thank God the Lord has said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what I want to do today very simply is to take the text of Scripture as our modern text And there are a number of things in the text that I want you to see. The first thing that I want you to see today is the peace of the promise. The peace of the promise. Now, it's a promise of peace, a promise of comfort here. The Lord says, "For I know the thought that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So here was the wonderful assurance that in the midst of their captivity, the Lord's thoughts towards them were thoughts of peace. Now they might have thought, well, the Lord is displeased and the Lord is angry because he's brought us into this captivity. And indeed, in many ways, the Lord was angry because of their departure. The Lord was angry because of their sin. But at the end of the day, the Lord was still their God. And at the end of the day, the thoughts of the Lord were still thoughts of peace, to bring about an expected end, to bring them round, to teach them a lesson, to bring them back into the place of fellowship and peace. And really, the peace that has been spoken about there is the peace of fellowship with God. I want you to think about the meaning of the word peace there. Because in many of the modern versions, for example, in the New International Version, it says there, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And from that, the prosperity gospel people have taken that to say that it's God's will for God's people to have prosperity. That, and they mean by that material prosperity and all the blessings that this world can give. And they will use that as it is translated in the modern versions to say, well, God's plans for us are plans always of prosperity. But once again, the Authorized Version is accurate. Because the Hebrew word is a word that you may already know, and it's the word shalom. And the primary meaning of the word shalom is not prosperity, it's peace. It's peace. And God wants to bring us into the place of peace. And where do we find peace? We find peace at the side of the Prince of Peace. We find peace in relationship with him. And it's not material things, it's not riches. And if God blesses you with riches, well, thank God for that. But it is, we certainly find that with the early disciples and even with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he hadn't much of this world's riches, but he had peace in his heart. And the greatest riches that you can have in the year that is to come and throughout your life is the riches of that relationship with the one who is the Prince of Peace, and that you can say shalom today, that God is your peace. But the word shalom also has other shades of meaning, not particularly prosperity, actually. I don't know how they get that out of it. But it does have different meanings. The theological workbook of the Old Testament gives the word as meaning completeness, wholeness, harmony, or fulfillment. And you think about all of those things. These are God's promise here. Not only peace, but wholeness, completeness, harmony, fulfillment. And you think of what God has for his people. Completeness, harmony, that wholeness, that completeness, that satisfaction. That's what God wants for his people. That's what God wants for his church today. Now, how often in the case of the children of Israel, God had to chastise them. But there was a reason for the chastisement. It was that they might be brought back into that place of wholeness, brought into that place of harmony with him. And God's plans for us, even in the midst of the difficult days in which we live, is that we might be brought back into harmony with himself. Though that we might learn the lesson today, be brought into harmony with him. So we do notice the meaning of the peace here. It is peace, but it is wholeness and harmony, completeness. That's what God wants for us in this incoming year. But not only do I want you to see the meaning of the peace, but I want you to see the maker of the peace. Because it is the Lord that is speaking here. God is thinking about us all the time. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." And God is the one who brings the peace. But we see here, God says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Maybe that's one of the most important statements that you'll ever hear. The God of the universe, thinks about you, knows you, understands you, remembers you, keeps you in his mind. He considers us. And you know, there's not a second that goes by that we're forgotten by him. Other people may forget about us. And even in, you know, with our loved ones, you know, we don't have them in our thoughts all the time. We have them in, probably in our thoughts most of the time. But you know the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. And maybe we are concentrating on something else. And maybe we forget about our loved ones. Maybe you've had the occasion when you've been absorbed in something and you've had to collect a loved one or you've had to lift them somewhere and you've forgotten about it and you've had to rush at the end because suddenly it's come to your mind, the loved one somewhere is. And we can forget. With the best will in the world, we forget. And maybe you have friends and you feel maybe sometimes they've forgotten you. Maybe you have those that you have known for many years, and maybe in some ways they have forgotten you or left aside. You know, this is a wonderful thought as we enter into 2015. The Lord will never forget us. And while we may think, you know, at times as if the Lord has forgotten us and the Lord has forsaken us, the Lord has said, I will never leave you, forsake you. In Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10 it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And I'm glad today that we have a God who thinks about us. He thinks about you, dear friend. He knows your thoughts. He knows our down sitting and our uprising. And he knows all about us. So here we have the peace of the promise. But then I want you to see something else. Notice the plan of the promise. Notice how the text goes on. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And you notice how the Lord declares here that there is an expected end. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He will give an expected end, a desirable end, it obviously implies. It is the end that they wish for, the end that they hope for. The end that will bring about the end of their troubles. Maybe not just what they were completely thinking. And sometimes the Lord's plans for us are beyond our plans. And he is better for us than we even think about ourselves. But thank God that the Lord has plans for us. We hope for blessings in days of difficulty. But I'm glad today that we have a God who has an expected end. I want you to see and think about the plans of God. The plans of God are profitable plans. They're good. They're always good. And you know, they're always wise. You know, we made a plans for ourselves this year, and they may not be wise. They may be wise, and they may not be wise. They may be good plans, but you know, sometimes we have thoughts about what is good for us, and it's not the right path for us at all. But God's plans are always wise and always good. And what God has planned for us is certainly going to be bring blessing. Now, you think of many of God's people. They had to go through really difficult times in order for God to fulfill his plans. You think of Joseph. And Joseph lived his life and experienced many ups and downs. He was sold into slavery and he was thrown into prison and he suffered many things. But you know, at the end of his life, he was able to say to his brethren, in Genesis 50 and verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass it as it is this day to save much people alive. And Joseph, I'm sure many times, maybe when he was in the prison, when he was sold into slavery by his brethren, was wondering what God was doing. But God had a plan. And the Bible says that the Lord prospered Joseph. And he has a plan to prosper. Maybe not our plans, but they are profitable plans nevertheless. Not only are they profitable plans, but they are personal plans. You see, while the text here is addressed to God's people as a whole, and we said at the start that it is to the church as a whole, yet the plans that God had to bring good and prosper and bring an expected end to these people included plans for individuals. For you think the promise certainly included a man like Daniel. Daniel was part of the expected end that God was bringing about. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were part of God's plan to bring about an expected end. And God had plans for these individuals. And I'm glad today that God has personal plans for us. Psalm 32 and verse 8, the Lord said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And not only has God personal plans, but he has detailed plans. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Isn't it wonderful? God has the very steps that we take planned. He will lead us in a way that we need to take. And thank God that he's been planning right from eternity past the way that we should go. And these things are a mystery to us. And as we face a new year, they're a great mystery. But thank God, the Lord has personal plans for us. Not only are they personal plans and profitable plans, but they are prophetic plans. You see, God's plans for the good of his people ultimately were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the expected end. He is the one who is going to bring peace at the end of the day. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And every blessing that we receive and expect is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it describes the Lord Jesus. And it describes him as the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He is the Omega. He's the end. We think of how he is the end of the condemnation of the law to those that are saved. He is the end of the expected end of salvation and bringing his people to glory. He is the expected end. And I'm glad today that he's the end of the fulfillment of the Old Testament types and prophecies, ceremonies. He's the end of bringing people to glory. He's the end of blessing. He is the one who brings blessing to those that trust in him. And I'm glad today that there is an expected end. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want blessing in this incoming year, then go to the one who is the expected end. Now, we could almost make that a title of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the expected end. You think of how the Bible says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He's the expected end. I wonder today, is he your expected end? Or I wonder today if you're outside of Christ and the only expected end that you have is condemnation and the wrath of God that abides upon the ungodly. Thank God his plans are prophetic. They're ultimately found and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we see the peace of the promise and the plan of the promise, but I want you to see the prayer for the promise. Look at verse 12. It says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Now, I want you to see that the purpose here, the expected end, was fulfilled, but it was not fulfilled without prayer. Now, this is one of the mysteries that we have in the Word of God. If God is an expected end, God is going to do something, why do we need to pray? And yet we find in the Bible that all of the blessings that we have are preceded by prayer. When it has been rightly said that when God is going to bless his people, he sets them to pray. Now, notice the background of the prayer here. It is a background of difficulty and captivity. It was a time when the people were not free to worship as they had once done. The psalmist says in Psalm 137, verses 1 to 4, and we have really a description of the people who are here in Jeremiah. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that waste us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they say, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And here they were in captivity, and in bondage, and they couldn't worship God the way that they wanted to or they should. We can identify with their difficulties to some degree. We think of how they are working to take away our freedom to worship in this dark day in which we live. But I'm glad that even in dark days we can pray. And that's what the Lord was saying here. In the days of difficulty, when you can do nothing else, you can pray. And that's what we need to do in our days of difficulty. Not only do we see the background of the prayer, but the burden of the prayer. It was that God would bring about this expected end. That God would bless them with fulfilling his promises. And now we need to plead the promises of God today. Bring those promises to him. Bring them to the place of prayer. D.L. Moody told how he learned how to plead the promises of God in his ministry. He said that there was a man that completely changed his understanding of prayer. He was an elderly Methodist, this man, and he was praying, and D.L. Moody was in the prayer meeting where this man was praying, and he detected something different about the prayers of this man. And he said, I never heard praying like before. It was praying with a fervency that I knew nothing about. There was a strange intimacy about this man's prayer. So Moody went to the man and he said, I want to pray with you. And so by and by, the old man, his name was Uncle Am. He was Ambrose Whaley. And he was known as Uncle Am to the people. And Uncle Am brought him out to an old barn out on his farm. And they got up on the ladder up into the hayloft. And there in the hayloft, the Moody said there were two big Bibles that lay open. And Moody wondered what this was. But they kneeled down to pray, and Moody prayed first. And he asked God, prayed about all the things, all the burdens, all the needs, all the wishes, all the aspirations, his ambitions. He brought all these to God. But then the Uncle Am began to pray. And again, Moody felt the difference. There was something different about the way that he prayed. And after he'd prayed, and after the prayer meeting was over, Moody said to him, Uncle Am, what is it? What is the secret of your praying? What is different? There's something different about your praying. And Uncle Am said to D.L. Moody, young man, Moody at this time was 24, Uncle Am was 73. He said, young man, learn to plead the promises of God. And Moody said, that is what transformed my prayer life. I learned to plead the promises of God. And this is what they needed to pray here. He says here in the verse, then shall ye call upon me. When? When they thought about these promises of peace and the expected end. Then plead the promises of God. But one more thing I want you to see. And that is the postponement of the promise. You see, God had a purpose and God had a plan here. But I want you to see that the Lord was saying to them, you're going to have to wait for this. Look at verses 4 to 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all their carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that ye may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And what is the Lord saying to the people here? Here they were in captivity and they were wondering when the Lord was bringing them out. And the Lord says, no, you're not getting out. What you need to do is build houses, and plant gardens here in the midst of the exile. Dwell here. Beget sons and daughters here and be increased here. What is Jeremiah's point? What is the Lord's point? Well, he's saying there's not going to be a last minute miracle to bring you out of here. But what you do in the meantime is work. Work in the meantime. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult in the meantime. There's no immediate relief in the meantime. What do you do in the meantime? Build. plant, work. And isn't that what we need to do? In the meantime, maybe dark, maybe difficult, we may be discouraged, but what we do in the meantime, build, plant, work. That's what we need to do. You know what Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2? He said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he says in the difficult times, when it's hard to be faithful, keep on working, keep on building, keep on planting. And these people were to settle down. They weren't giving up. They weren't giving in. They were just working in the midst of the difficulties. And in disappointing times, what we need to learn is to be content where we are. It may be difficult, may be discouraging, may at times be disappointment. But we need to learn to work where we are. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. You know, it may be still difficult in this year that is to come. But what we do in the meantime, well, we pray. We pray first of all. But also we build and we plant and we work. That's what we do. We keep on. We're faithful to God in the midst of the difficulties. But one more thing very briefly, and our time is gone. That's the people of the promise. Who is the promise made to? Well, who are these people who are encouraged? Well, it is God's people. It's the church of God. And there is no real happy ending to those that reject God. There's no real peace. The plan that God has for you, if you continue to reject him and go out into a Christless eternity, is an eternity of wrath. But God has plans for his people. And there are plans of peace and plans that bring an expected end. And that expected end is an end of victory. So where are you going in 2015? Is it for victory or defeat? Is it for glory or despair? Where are you going in 2015? Thank God that the Lord says to his people, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. May we have a glorious expected end as we face this incoming year. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just